Tired of all the commercials on FM radio?
Get 0% financing on all...
So you get the taste you love at a price you'll love even more.
Get yours today. Call now.
Enjoy free premium FM sounding radio with less commercials with Autolus. Download the Autolus app from your Apple or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Listen on your phone, in your car, Bluetooth smart speaker, tablet, and other devices. Autolus. Your music, your way.
Welcome to the Leprechaun Connection pregame show.
Ladies and gentlemen of Irish Nation, this is the Leprechaun Connection podcast. Mike and Sean here with you. Visit our website at leprechaunconnection.com, where you'll find a link to our merchandise store, our Patreon, and a link to donate to St. Jude. That's leprechaunconnection.com. Welcome, lads and lasses. The Irish hope to move on from a heartbreaking loss and head down to Durham, North Carolina to take on a very good Duke Blue Devil squad led by head coach and former Notre Dame defensive coordinator Mike Elko for another game under the lights. TV coverage starts at 7:30 Eastern on ABC. And if you haven't heard, College Game Day will be on site. Wow. And we got four night games in a row, dude.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a good chance, again, not taking anything for granted, but running the table up until that USC game, there could be talk about another College Game Day. I don't know if they've ever done that twice at the same campus in one season, and I haven't looked to see what other games would be that week. But that would be a pretty big matchup, all things being considered, if both teams run the table to that point. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. First, we got Duke.
Durham, North Carolina, 4-1 Irish, 4-0 Blue Devils.
You know, people look at them, they're like, Duke's a football school, or I'm sorry, basketball school. Guess what? They've got a pretty good football team this year. They really do, and I'm saying that with a straight face. All time, Notre Dame leads the series 5-2. I believe we won the last couple of games. One was not really close. That was, I think, back in 2019. It might have been like 38-7, somewhere in that realm. And the last one was a little closer than that. But the big thing in this game is going to be, in my opinion, the emergence of Riley Leonard as the quarterback at Duke. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. First, let's address the elephant in the room. After the Ohio State game, Coach Freeman sat his staff down, and only his staff, from what I understand, on Sunday. And they had a pretty good long talk about what they could have done differently and how they could improve going forward. So hopefully they've worked those bugs out. And by that, I mean they have come up with a system and put things in place if they are ever in a position again where they realize they don't have enough personnel on the field. So that's good. Again, not trying to rip open old wounds, but I know there were a lot of questions after that game.
Real quick, I want to address that. I'm wondering if during the game, if they even knew if they even had 10 players on the field, if they even knew it.
Well, according to what I've read,
just the fact that
according to what I've read, they may have sounded like they knew. They certainly knew after the first play, like after the first of those two plays.
Okay.
So, did they know in enough time for something to be done about it? I don't know if we will ever know the answer to that question, the true answer to that question. By that, I mean, because unless you are looking on the sideline and you see the coaches gesturing and saying, hey, you know, we've only got 10, and running like mad, you know, to Freeman and to the coordinators and making that known to them and them engaged in conversation again. This happens quickly. Those two plays happen pretty quickly. There wasn't a break. There wasn't a timeout. There wasn't anything like that between these two plays. Ohio State lined up, got in the ball, and ran the play. So what Marcus Freeman was saying is that there wasn't time to run another player out there. And if they did, they wouldn't have been able to get onside in time for the play to start. So they would have been flagged for offsides. And if you're flagged for offside, but you still score, they're going to decline the penalty anyway. So really the only way that you can do something that's going to immediately stop the game is if you have a player go across the line and physically touch another player. Right. Then they have to blow it dead and, you know, enforce the penalty prior to the ball being snapped from the way that it was explained. So, I mean, if that's the case, you know, then that would be the safeguard against it going forward, I suppose, some type of hand signal or something from the sideline to get the attention of one or more of the defensive personnel and saying, hey, jump and touch him because we need to get set. We're not set. You know, this is an issue. This is a, you know, DEFCON 4, whatever you want to call it, okay?
Also, here's another thing. Didn't somebody else come in for the next play for Ohio State for that next play? Well, 'cause the first play they had 10 men, and the next play they still had 10 men on the field. From what I recall,
you're saying
we had 10 personnel
right,
for the first
that, right.
play in this, for two plays in a row. Okay, so didn't Ohio State sub a player in that second play, which then Notre Dame had the legal right, I guess,
yes.
for lack of a better term.
Yes, if that's the case, yes.
Substitute a player.
Yes.
So that to me, that argument doesn't hold up.
Right. Oh, I agree. If that's the case, if they knew it at that point,
they have to allow the defense to substitute. If the offense substitutes, right? If they bring in another player, they swap out players before the play's ball snapped, right? They have to be able to give the defense a chance.
Correct. Right.
To substitute as well, because we saw that actually happen in the game where they actually paused, where the referee came in and stopped and didn't allow the ball to be snapped to allow Ohio State to, you know, bring in the proper defensive personnel because we substituted. Notre Dame would have been able to. So that's why I think
if Ohio State subbed, I don't know if they did. To be honest,
we'll have to go back and look at the film.
But yeah, but that's an interesting question.
It's because that's why I'm wondering if they didn't realize they had 10 men on the field until it was brought up in the press conference or until somebody it was brought up on social media or whatever, and then like, oh, we need. How do we address this?
Right.
I'm wondering if they just. It's just a huge mess, and I really don't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, for sure. And unless unless they're just saving face and saying we learned about it after the first play, whether they did or didn't, you know. I mean, if there's safeguards in place now, good. Shouldn't happen anyway, but to err is human. At any rate, let's talk about this Notre Dame offense versus the Duke defense. And for me,
go for it.
It starts. Absolutely has to start with the run game. You know, we definitely got the run game going, in my opinion, better in the second half of the Ohio State game. I think we need to make sure that is our focus throughout the game, this game. We are way too deep and way too talented in our running back depth chart not to make that the focus of this offense. That's not to say that Sam Hartman can't throw for 300 yards. That's fine, too. But I think it should start with the run game, and we should be consistently trying to run the football as much as we can, especially early on. Don't wait till the later stages of the game to get it going. Let's get it going. Let's stick with it and make sure we're getting the ball into the hands of our playmakers. Audric Estime, you know, last game, I think it was 14 rushes for 70 yards. You know, that's in my mind, that's just not enough, especially in a physical football game. He's got to have 20 touches. Got to. You know, and in my mind, that's bare minimum, you know, to get things going. And I understand you have a very talented group of running backs, so you got to feed everybody. I get it. But, you know, you can, in situations like that, especially, you've got to give it to your feature back that is your stud go-to guy that you know can move the pile. And in my estimation, that's Audric Estime and probably Jabron Payne.
Right.
Jeremiah Love is great. He's fast and he's flashy.
Oh, yeah,
He just doesn't strike me as the most fit. He's not as physical as Audric Estime. It's just my opinion. You know, it's not built that way. But, I mean, I think it has to start with the run game. Duke's defense.
With the amount of running backs that we have, they all could start, right? I think that makes us very hard to defend and very hard to prepare for because of the amount of running backs that we have, the weapons that we have in the backfield.
Right. No, and that's a good way to put it. I mean, when you look at who Duke has played, you know, you're not going to see a lot of marquee matchups yet. You know, they've played Northwestern. They played Connecticut. They played Clemson. Clemson is the big name, obviously, on their schedule thus far. But they gave up quite a bit of yardage to Clemson, even though Cade Klubnik did not have his best game. You know, that really was not his best showing on the field. Riley Leonard is absolutely a dual threat quarterback. I would say so much so that he might even be more dangerous in the run game than he is the passing game. He has four rushing touchdowns so far this year. He has a long rushing touchdown this year of 44 yards. And I mean, between Riley Leonard and Jordan Waters, correct me if I'm wrong, Duke's running back, that is where the offense starts for Duke. They are absolutely effective with their run game, and that tells you that they have a good offensive line that's creating those holes. So this is not a game where you can sit back and expect Riley Leonard to stay in the pocket and throw the ball. He can sling it, but he can absolutely run the ball, and he's not little either. Riley Leonard is 6'4", and they've got him listed at 215. He might be a few biscuits above that. He might be closer to 220. So you're not talking about a little guy to bring down in the run game either. That's a pretty big quarterback that, from the tape that I've seen, he can be physical too. He can make physical runs. So, and I want to say that, oh boy, their receiver. They've obviously got several receivers, but their one receiver that they seem to go to with regularity is Jalen Calhoun. Jalen Calhoun has gone for, I want to say, over 100 yards, maybe two or three times this year. So he's absolutely someone we've got to keep an eye on spying coverage. But the run game, we have to be all over the run game. Have to. And stopping the run, we've got to make sure that our linebackers are wrapping up and completing the play, finishing the assignment. I mean, we've seen that how many times this year where we've had personnel in the position to make a play for a loss in the backfield, and they're just not wrapping up. They're just not their arm tackles or their, you know, it's a highlight reel attempt, something along those lines. I mean, Clemson rushed for 213 yards as a team against Duke. Will Shipley had 17 carries for 114 yards, averaging almost 7 per carry, 6.7 yards a carry. Cade Klubnik, who didn't have his best game, he got 34 yards rushing, and Phil Mafa, however that's pronounced, he had 11 carries for 65 yards. So you can absolutely run on this team. And they had 27 receptions for 209 yards passing. Again, Clemson did in their game against them. 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So to 9 different receivers. So they spread the ball around the field on Duke as well. They just couldn't get on the scoreboard. So it's going to be pretty important that we lock up Riley Leonard and that run game. That's going to be that, to me, that's priority one. I think if you lock up Riley Leonard and Jordan Waters, that's going to make things a whole lot easier. You've got to make sure you keep them honest and limit what they can do on the ground with their feet. Jalen Calhoun is, you know, like as I said, from what I've seen, their go-to receiver or one of their best receivers. Not the biggest guy, but he's fast and he runs good routes. He has good hands. He's only listed at 5'11", 191. So I mean, again, not the biggest guy that you have to target and spy, but I mean, neither is Chris Tyree. And we've seen what that can do. You know, we've seen what you can do with speed.
Right.
So let's talk about this Notre Dame defense versus the Duke offense a little bit
more.
We talked about the need to stop Riley Leonard, Jordan Waters, and Jalen Calhoun. The games that I've seen Duke play so far against Clemson and part of the one against Northwestern, you know, they've got a lot of good veteran talent leading this team. They don't get rattled very easily. I'm not saying that they faced the stiffest competition, but playing Clemson was no small test. I mean, that's a team that has had their way with Duke quite a bit. So
And Duke handled them very well. Duke, 28-7, Duke did, right? Now,
granted, I think that was, wasn't that a home game for Duke? I'm trying to recall. But, again, it's not like that's really far from from Clemson. You know, that's Clemson travels pretty well. So, but they did very well against Clemson. And this seems like a team that is absolutely on a mission to silence the critics. Mike Elko is their coach, right? And that name's familiar from our coaching ranks.
Yeah, we talked about we talked about that when the show started.
So make no mistake, Mike Elko.
I mean, it was only one season.
Right, but he's been at Duke for, is it 2-3 years, something like that now?
This is his second season.
Okay.
Yep.
Make no mistake, he's looking to make a splash. I mean, he's got a, like I said, a talented group. They're off to a 4-0 start in the ACC. They're looking really good right now. I'm trying to think. Is it Duke and Miami? Are those the remaining undefeated ACC teams right now? I'd have to look, I suppose. But they're off to an excellent start, and Mike Elko would like nothing more than to beat another huge team, another big-name team at home in front of a home crowd. I mean, that home crowd is going to be packed for this game, especially if College Game Day is there. So this is going to be a big environment for the Duke football program. This is their...
And let's be honest, there will be a lot of Irish fans there.
Oh, 100%. There certainly will. Oh, you know what? I apologize. I didn't mean to slight North Carolina or Florida State. So as of right now in the ACC, Florida State... Wow. Florida State, Louisville, Duke, and North Carolina are all 4-0?
Yep.
If I'm seeing this right. Okay. And yeah, those are your undefeated teams. Oh, Miami is 4-0. Syracuse is 4-0. Forgot about Syracuse. So you've still got several undefeated teams, but again, Duke is in good shape. Now, granted, they've only played one conference game. But 4-0 start for Duke football is that's got to be their best start in program history in some time. I would think. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'd have to check.
They had some good. They had some good years with David Cutcliffe, so maybe.
Yeah, I think
they may have hit that point at some time other before, but they had some good years with David Cutcliffe. So I guess we'll have to look into it. Duke hasn't faced a team that has our speed, that has our size.
That'll be an interesting test for them at home. Like I said, under the lights,
it's very interesting.
That's a big time game situation. We'll see how they respond to that kind of pressure. We'll see how Riley Leonard responds to that kind of pressure. I don't anticipate Sam Hartman having a problem with it. I don't anticipate Audrey Guestime or, you know, the rest of the offense really having a problem with it. I think defensively, it seems like Benjamin Morrison, Xavier Watts and company, they did pretty well in pressure situations last week against Ohio State when the stakes were high. So I'm not really concerned about our team showing poise and being prepared, you know, for this game, but we've got to avoid that hangover. You know, the hangover from the Ohio State game. We got to make sure that we avoid that.
Got to go in there foaming at the mouth.
Absolutely.
And ready to take out their frustration out on Duke. You have to. You got to bounce back. We have some injuries. I saw the injury report going into this game. I lost it for some reason. Who's not available this weekend?
Oh, were you asking me or are we going to list them?
No. I'm asking you, did you recall seeing the injury report?
I do remember seeing that I want to say Jaden Thomas might be out. And I'm not sure there was another name, but I'm not recalling at the moment who it was.
Deion Colsey will not be there. And Jaden Thomas is listed as questionable. Okay, there it is. I just had to look for it.
Depending on what that is now, was Jaden Thomas, was that a hamstring? I want to say one was concussion protocol or concussion concerns, and the other was a hamstring. The hamstring one, that's kind of a day-to-day thing, I would think, you know? And if...
You asked me as I closed it up.
And as long as it wasn't anything serious, that would be a day-to-day thing. If the other one was concussion related, that just depends on where they are in the concussion protocol. And there's no way to predict that. You're either progressing along in it well, or you're going to take some more time. You know, that's the... And you want to take all the precautions, especially with these younger kids, to make sure that you're taking the right steps to get them completely game ready before they're back in the field after an injury like that. So there was one thing that I wanted to add here, and it's just the ongoing. I just found this funny. Okay, and maybe you guys will be entertained by it as well. Lou Holtz responded to Ryan Day. He says, I can understand why he did. Why Ryan Day did respond. He doesn't want to talk about Michigan 0-2. He doesn't want to talk about the big game coming up against Penn State and against Michigan again. He's a great coach. He's done a tremendous job. He's a great offensive mind. He hired an outstanding defensive coordinator from Oklahoma State. I think he's doing a tremendous job. Ohio State's a good football team. I don't think they're a great football team. He can go after me all he wants. You know,
epic.
The back and forth was, I guess it's been kind of entertaining. At the same time, I'm thinking, you know, Ryan Day has, he shouldn't have even gotten into this.
He's a blowhard.
He shouldn't have even gotten into this again, because Lou Holtz's comments were made to try and get the crowd into it, to try and get Notre Dame Nation on the same page. He took it personally, obviously. Ryan Day did, and to each their own. But I still maintain that if you're going to go, if you're going to do something like that, go after the head coach, go after the, you know, somebody that's in charge of the program or with the program. You don't need to go after the guy, you know, that's just, you know, trying to get people fired up for the game. But I digress. I thought I saw that and I was like, that's pretty good. That's pretty entertaining. But do you have to pay some bills here and take a break, Mike?
I do. All right, folks, this portion of the broadcast is brought to you by Audilus, your music your way. Download the Audilus radio app today and enjoy free premium radio and podcasts with 20 different radio stations to choose from between rock, country, hip-hop, and more. Search AUDILOUS in the Apple or Google Play Store and enjoy free premium radio and podcasts right at your fingertips. Audilus, your music, your way. All right, our next topic is we need to avoid the hangover. The Irish need to have a sense of urgency. We kind of talked about that a little earlier, that we need to go out there and take out our anger and our frustration and our heartbreak out on Duke and block out as many distractions as you possibly can. That's hard to do, especially in this day and age. But we got to go in there with a sense of urgency and really make a statement. Make a
statement.
Absolutely. Foaming at the mouth, like, and you got to.
Well, and
you really do.
You look at this game coming up, and keep in mind, once again, this is a game against another ranked opponent. This is Duke is ranked number 17. You know, a win.
Go be the top 25 team on the road. That's how you
make a
statement.
A win against the top 25 team at their house would absolutely do us good. It'll do us good in the standings.
Especially if it's convincing.
100%. So,
if we take them to the wire, I mean, come on.
Well, and I mean, this one could be a shootout. I know I was way wrong on the Ohio State one, but I'm just saying the way this offense goes with Duke, especially because they like to run the ball, you know, this could turn into a possession game. How many possessions do we get? How many possessions are they getting?
Right.
You know, who's going to be more effective at stopping the run? Those are going to be some of the big questions that need to be answered. But, yeah, we have to make sure that we come into this game where we're not, you know, bleary-eyed and still hungover from that game, the big game this past weekend against Ohio State. We've got to go in there with a focus and a tenacity and an understanding that run the table here, and we are absolutely still in the college football playoff conversation. But
correct.
Step one to that is running the table, and you have to run the table, and the bigger score you can do it by, the better, as you said just a bit ago. Beat Duke by a big crooked number, and it's going to look a whole lot better. I'm not sure what the line was. I want to say it opened at around 5, 5.5.
I haven't looked yet.
We were around 5 or 5.5 point favorites, I believe. That was probably either Sunday or Monday, if I saw that correctly. So, I mean, favorites, but not overwhelming favorites. So if you go in there and win by 2 touchdowns, that's going to look really good. You go in there and win by 3 touchdowns, it's going to look even better. You go in there and win by 4 touchdowns, well, you know, do the math. Either way, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. You've just got to go into this game understanding how important it is to perform, continue performing at a high level and doing all the things that they've done up to this point in the season. They've been very successful all year offensively. Defensively, they've done well also. There was a tremendous defensive performance against an Ohio State team that puts up big, big numbers on the offensive side of the ball. So to hold that team to 17 points, really should have been 10, but 17 points, that's incredible. Got to keep that effort up, especially against Duke, because they're going to come in playing inspired football.
And they've had 2 weeks to prepare.
Have they? They had a bye week?
They're coming off a bye week.
I thought they played last week.
Which shouldn't surprise anybody.
I thought they played last week, really?
Yeah, no, they didn't play last week. All right, so who's your picks to click on offense and defense? I'll go ahead and go first. I'm going to say. What do you mean?
Connecticut. They played UConn this last weekend.
On the 23rd, they played 23rd. Connecticut?
You know what it is? Well, they played. No, it's not even that. They didn't play week zero like we did. That's why we got 5 games, they got 4. For some reason, I thought they had a week before. I had to double check that, too. But yeah, they played. I mean, essentially a bye week. It was UConn, you know. So.
Okay. All right, so a pick to click. I'm going to go with Audric Estime. I think he's going to have a big day. They're going to zero in on him, but I don't know if Duke will have the – I don't know if they'll have the players to be able to match up against Audric Estime. I think he's just going to be too much for their defense. Schematically, they might do a pretty good job, but I think he's going to plow through a lot of people and be taking a lot of people down the field with him. So I'm going to give Audric Estime as my pick to click. I think he's going to have a really good day. Defense, I'm going to go with Maris Lufau. I got to go with Maris Lufau with the hair, interception, pick 6. I'm waiting to see that. That's the next one I'm waiting for. I got my Tyree.
You got your Tyree. So that's right.
Yeah, so. Score prediction. I'm going to go 38-14 Irish.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. I think they're going to go in there foaming at the mouth, pissed off, ready to pound somebody's face in. And they're going to be making a statement. They're
24-point win. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Offensively, so, yeah, right. Offensively, we're a little limited at receiver, especially if we're without Jaden Thomas and Deion Colsey. Although Deion Colsey's kind of been hit or miss in appearing in the receiver game, he's still a good target to have. And you'd rather have more weapons than fewer. So that being said, it's kind of a toss-up for me this game. I think Sam Hartman could have a good game, but I'm going to say that Tobias Merriweather is going to have a good game this game. And people want to say, well, he didn't make a huge appearance in the Ohio State game. Well, he did. He was half a yard away from scoring a touchdown on that pivotal drive. If you recall, he was stopped just short of the goal line against Ohio State. Tobias Merriweather has very good size. When he stays inside his own head and runs the routes the way he knows to run them, because he can run good routes, he is almost unstoppable. I mean, you can't stop too many people that are 6'5", run a good route, and can get up in the air for the ball. It's physics at that point. So I like Tobias Merriweather to have a good game. On the defensive side of the ball, boy, it's tough to say. We've got as long as we are healthy, we've got a lot of playmakers on defense. I'm going to say DJ Brown. I think DJ Brown is going to look to kind of rebound. I think he had a missed opportunity in that Ohio State game with a potential interception, if I'm not mistaken. Look for DJ Brown to rebound and have a good game in coverage. Pick up an interception, maybe a couple pass deflections. Let's hope he can revitalize this Irish defense and make sure that he limits Riley Leonard's success through the air. Score prediction.
I like it.
I've gone round and round about this. I'm really not sure. It's so tough to tell. There are times where Notre Dame comes out with their hair on fire and we are absolutely ready to play after a tough game like this. There are other times where we just seem like we couldn't get off the bus.
Right.
I'm going with my gut and saying that Marcus Freeman is going to have this team and this staff ready to go. I like the Irish. I'm going to say a final score of 35-17.
So not too far off from what I predicted.
A touchdown less. I think Duke is going to throw. They're going to do well. They're going to throw everything they've got into the ring in this game. Because again, it's college game day that's going to be there. It's going to be prime time under the lights. This is going to be a big stage for them. I don't think they're going to go away real early. I think with our depth, I think the Irish pull away late and we put up a nice number, put a little distance between ourselves and Duke.
I concur. Final thoughts before we wrap up.
You know, just got to avoid the letdown. It's a new week. Every week is, it needs to be treated as if it's the first game of the season. It's vital at this point to come out fast and to seize those opportunities when they present themselves both on both sides of the ball. The war in the trenches, I mean, I think our D-line and our offensive line have both done a pretty good job. The offensive line has been exceptional, in my opinion, this season so far. Continue fulfilling your assignments. Continue with the pressure and the cohesiveness they've played together with, and come out of there with a prime time win against a top 20 opponent on the road, ready to move on to the next game. Just next person, next game up. And just keep that line moving. Keep piling up the wins in the win column. And eventually, everything is going to be fine as long as you keep winning. It's one loss by 3 points to a team that is now, are they fourth? Is Ohio State ranked fourth now?
Yeah.
You've got one loss to the number four team in the country by 3 points in prime time. This is not the end of the world, guys. This isn't the end of the season. Stay focused. Stay focused. Keep playing with the pressure and the passion that you've been playing with and come out of there with a big win. Shut down that Durham crowd and we're just going to continue rising the rankings again. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Play with fire, like everything that Sean said. Play with fire. Play pissed off. Foaming at the mouth like you got rabies. Go in there and put up points. Smash their faces in.
I love like the descriptive said, part
take
of that.
Just take out your frustration out on the Blue Devils. Make them pay and come home with a W.
There you go.
And so that's all I have. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Visit our Facebook page to stay on top of everything Irish. And to our friends here in the Michiana area and to all our friends across Irish Nation, we thank you so much for listening. For Sean, I'm Mike McLaren. Join us next time right here on the Leprechaun Connection podcast. Go Irish.
Go Irish.